Eden slides her hand up my chest, her expression understanding and empathetic.
You always were so protective of my feelings. It was one of the things I missed most when we broke up. No one cared about how I felt about anything.
Christ, I hate that for her. All those years of making your way through life all on your own. It also makes me wonder if I was wrong not to go with her. I could have left school and come back to it later. I could have taken a few years and traveled with Eden so she had someone. But I didn't. And even though I gave Eden an ultimatum, she had never done that to me. She knew how important it was for me to come back to Newbury. So she ventured out alone while I had a comfortable life surrounded by family and friends. It's an absolute testament to the strength of character Eden's developed over the years. So many things she did on her own, including falling in love with another man. Hell, maybe there were even more before she got engaged to Brad, but I really don't want to know about them. I hate that he had this with you before I did, I mutter. This? She asks. Sex with you? Without a condom? No barriers? Her lips curve with sympathy and her fingers glide along my chest.
He may have been before you, but when we decided to move forward to the next level and do away with the condoms, the sex wasn't any better or any worse than before. There was no change.
That's interesting and validating.
And if it makes you feel any better, she continues, there has been no one in my life that has compared to you as a lover. Not even come close. Brad wasn't my worst, but he wasn't great. He was one of those types of guys who goes straight for his own pleasure, and he's totally happy for you if you get there too, but he doesn't care if you don't. You're the exact opposite. I always feel it's never about you and always about me. I don't know how you do that, make me feel that way. In fact, I'm not even sure you're real half the time because of the things you make me feel when you're fucking me.
God damn, I like that. A lot, because it's the exact way Eden makes me feel. The ringing of Eden's phone on the nightstand prevents me from responding. She lifts her head from my chest, slithers her naked body across mine to reach it, and then pulls up to straddle my hips while she answers it. She grins down at me as she says,
Hey, Colleen, what's up?
Eden listens as Colleen talks, and I have no clue what she's saying. Don't care, either. All I really care about is that Eden is straddling my hips with her legs wide, which means her pussy is on beautiful display. I'm hypnotized by my semen leaking out of her and dripping onto the base of my cock, which is starting to perk up with interest again. My hand slowly moves to touch her there, rub the slickness of me against her, but her hand slams against my wrist and locks tight. I raise my eyes to her, fogged with lust, and see her smirking at me as she shakes her head. The message is clear. No touching while I'm on the phone. I capitulate and push my hands under my head, giving her an accommodating smile and waiting for her to finish her phone call. When she's done, I want to fill her up again. My dick starts to swell at this thought and pushes up against her, but she ignores me. Finally, I hear her say to Colleen,
Well, that changes everything. Of course I'll go.
She listens for a moment, then nods at whatever Colleen says.
Okay, let me know when my flight leaves. Thanks, Colleen.
Eden disconnects the call and tosses the phone onto the bed. Placing both hands on my chest, she says,
I'm going to have to go to L.A. for the weekend. The Screen Actors Guild has a charity benefit every year, and they give awards to members for their philanthropy. I'm getting one for some work I did this past year helping to build schools in Ghana.
You went to Ghana and built schools? I ask her. Talk about the fucking irony.
She smiles and nods. For 2 weeks in between films I did. Would have loved to have done more, but my free time is so minimal.
And yet you spend it working, doing physical labor, rather than sunning yourself on a tropical beach to rest and relax. And yes, there's part censure and part wonder in my voice over her work ethic fueled by her humanity. I always knew Eden had a big heart. I just didn't know how much she exercised it. You weren't going to go originally? I ask, because that was the vibe I got from listening to her end of the conversation. Eden shakes her head. Honestly, I'm enjoying my time so much here, I just thought I'd forego it.
What changed your mind?
Those green eyes get soft with tender memories. I found out one of the students I got close to while I was there is being brought here to present me the award. They were going to surprise me, but when I offered my regrets, they had to let me in on the secret. Of course I'm going now. I can't wait to see Samuel.
What's his story?
His mother died in childbirth, father not long after that. He was raised by his grandmother, but she died when he was 13. He was fortunate to be taken in by another family. He's 15 now and so smart. He wants to come study in the U.S. and become a doctor.
I smile at this woman who constantly reminds me she's so much more than a pretty face on a billboard. You're going to have an amazing time.
I'll fly out Friday. The award gala is on Saturday night. Then I'll catch the red eye back.
She leans over, brushes her lips against mine.
I'll be back so fast, you won't even miss me.
My hand goes to the back of her head, holding her mouth to mine, and I mumble, I'll totally miss you. Eden pulls back and locks eyes with me.
Why don't you come with me?
To a Hollywood awards gala? I ask dubiously. I'm afraid I'm fresh out of tuxedos.
She snickers. I can get you a tuxedo with the snap of my fingers.
There's something about her offer that's intriguing and frightening. There's no doubt I'm curious as to how Eden lives. I have no doubt it's probably 180 degrees from where I am in life. But I'm also not keen on knowing the details, because it will only serve to reiterate that our lives are just too different to make this a long-term thing. And that just fucking sucks, because if you removed the little problem of our lives being rooted on opposite sides of the country, I'd completely buy into the notion that Eden and I would be amazing together again as a committed couple. As a couple in love.
I can see the hesitation, Coop,
Eden teases me. She places her hand to my cheek, strokes her fingers over my temple and then through my hair. Her eyes follow her fingers' movements for a moment before her gaze slides back to mine. Her voice is challenging when she says,
Come on, take a walk in my world. It's not so bad, you'll see.
My eyes narrow and I contemplate. What will you give me if I go with you?
Oh, so this is a negotiation?
She asks with a laugh.
Yup.
Eden turns her eyes up to the ceiling and hums while she thinks. When she looks back down to me, she trails a finger down the center of my chest before she says in a warm, husky voice,
I'll let you have my ass.
And just like that, my dick gets hard and she chuckles as she feels it nudging her while she straddles me. Her look goes dark, sexy, and promising.
I have toys you can use on me. Lots of toys to get me ready.
Jesus fuck, I mutter as my hands fly to Eden's hips to lift her up from my pelvis. She helps by going to her knees slightly. I slip my hand between us, grab my cock, and push the tip into her pussy that's still slippery from when I came in her not that long ago. Eden takes over from there and pushes herself down with a groan. My breath wheezes out of my body. It feels so good.
So you're coming to L.A. with me for the weekend?
She asks, to make sure while holding herself still on my dick. Ready to go right now? I tell her as I try to buck upward to get her to move. Eden throws her head back and laughs.
It's only Wednesday, and you have to work. You can wait a few more days.
For that ass? I ask incredulously. I really can't wait. Let's do that right now. Her laugh deepens and she's thoroughly amused.
Waiting will make it better. You'll like my toys. They make me do crazy things.
Jesus, I mutter. I'm going to come just thinking about it.
Then let me help you along.
Eden murmurs in that silky voice that promises me I'll be seeing stars. She starts to ride me, and all thoughts of L.A. and her toys are gone. And there's only Eden.
Chapter 19. Now we're getting kinky. Eden. My house is something to behold, and not because it's a $9 million home in Pacific Palisades. It's a treasure because I stuck to my roots, purchasing a home that could easily have passed for a close cousin of Goodnight House. I may not have had a relationship with my grandmother, which prevented me from returning home, but this house confirms to me that I sure as hell missed my heritage. While not exactly like Goodnight House, it's similar enough, done in stucco with long white pillars and outdoor balconies that run the length of the house. Inside, the decor is traditional, with custom crown molding, wainscot paneling, and coffered ceilings. On a street of houses that look like large glass boxes or haciendas, my house looks like it came straight from the south. When Coop and I walk in, I can't help but prattle on about the features, which include a media room, gym, and a wet, dry sauna. The backyard includes an infinity pool that overlooks the canyon with the ocean in the distance. Coop listens to me patiently as I give him a tour, but I know that he knows I'm nervous to have him here. I'm terrified my world is going to overwhelm him. I'm also afraid how completely obvious it is by the house I chose to live in that I have some serious longing for those things I left behind that were a comfort to me, and I'm afraid that makes me pathetic. Coop got a very quick taste of my fame at the airport as I was immediately recognized. Fans were whipping out cameras to take pictures. When we were about to exit the airport, I muttered to him, "Put on your sunglasses." "So I look Hollywood?" he asked with a laugh as he put them on. "Because there will be thousands of pictures of you snapped, and they'll look for that one that can be badly interpreted. Trust me, with all the ways we move our facial muscles, invariably there will be one that probably looks like you hate me or something, and they'll pounce on it."
"Are you shitting me?"
His mouth was hanging open in astonishment. "Not shitting you," I told him grimly, and then we pushed out into the sunshine and were met with dozens of paparazzi with cameras. They like to skulk about the airport, trying to catch any celebrity that comes through. I ignored them as we rolled our bags to a chauffeur waiting for us in front of a dark sedan with a sign that said, "Good night." The photographers followed, crowded, got pushy with their snapping cameras and questions being thrown at me left and right.
"Eden, are you and Cooper Mayfield in a relationship now? Eden, are you going to be filming with Brad? Eden, what do you think of Liliana Prentice moving into Brad's home this past week?"
I didn't respond, but that one was interesting. He didn't waste any time, and I'm assuming things were definitely over between Liliana and her husband. I did wonder if Liliana knew that Brad was at my house in Georgia just a few days ago trying to make things right with me. Coop follows me upstairs to my bedroom, carrying both of our suitcases. Colleen's coming over in a few hours to go over the legal documents to break my contract on Brad's film. She's also dying to meet Coop, so that's the real reason she's coming. Although she graciously offered to pick up his tux we'd ordered for tomorrow night's award ceremony and deliver it to us. My master suite is beautiful, and it's the one room in the house that I actually decorated to my tastes. The rest of the house is simplistic, as I'm not here enough to really enjoy it. But my bedroom is where I relax, and I wanted it to reflect a peaceful design. My walls are done in silvers and slate blues, as are the Roman shades in different patterns. My bed is actually an unornamented box frame with a square wooden headboard with a live edge, stained a dark mahogany. The wall facing the ocean is nothing but floor-to-ceiling windows with a private balcony accessed by French doors. There is nothing more relaxing than to go to sleep with those doors open and feel the sea breeze coming in. The sound of Coop setting down the luggage catches my attention, and I turn to face him. I clutch my hands in front of my stomach and ask, "So, what do you think?" He doesn't say anything, but his expression says it all. It says, "I love your house because you stuck to your heritage." I'm also sorry that this is about the only thing you've had to remind you of home over the years. Damn. Intuitive guy. We'd stopped and grabbed lunch at one of the local restaurants off Sunset Boulevard, but there's so much to see and do around here, I'm not really sure where to start. What do you want to do? I ask, hesitantly, quickly changing the subject before he can give me an honest answer to my question. I can take you sightseeing, or we can go hang out on the beach, shopping even. Coop walks to me, his long legs eating up the distance in no time. His hand slides into my hair at the back of my head, and he grabs a fistful, tugging on it gently so my face tips back. He bends down, grazes his lips against mine, and murmurs,
I want you to get naked and get on your bed. I'm here in L.A. with you, and now I want what you promised me.
My eyes go wide as pleasure skitters down my spine from the rough need in his voice. Right now.
Why wait?
He asks me, his hand gripping a bit harder, and the little sting to my scalp is exhilarating. Coop's always been control in bed, even a little forceful, but I felt he had more bristling under the surface, and my body responds to that prospect immediately. My legs get rubbery and my panties get wet. Coop turns my body around just by his hold in my hair and then gives me a gentle push toward the bed as he releases me.
Get naked. Get on your hands and knees and push that ass in the air.
Coop, I whisper as I freeze in place. I don't stop because I'm scared or nervous, but because I'm almost paralyzed with such potent desire my mind goes blank. Stepping up behind me, Coop moves my hair away from my neck and brushes his lips there.
You okay?
I nod. Shiver. Nod again. Uh-huh.
Can you take my cock in your ass?
He rumbles. My entire body shudders. Uh-huh.
And you got some toys we can play with to help you get loosened up first?
He asks. And I can hear the subtle humor in his voice. I nod again, then lift a shaky hand to point to my closet. Pink box on the top shelf. Coop moves to the closet, gets the box I described, and brings it back to set on the bed. He opens it up and peruses the contents, his hands picking up various toys and examining them.
I fucking hate thinking about you using this shit with...
I didn't, I break in, because I knew where he was going. Not with Brad, because he wasn't very adventurous, but before him, several years ago, there was... Coop holds up a hand, the palm facing me as he continues to rummage in the box.
Don't want to know about it.
I snap my mouth shut and try not to smile about his jealousy. Surely he understands I may have had an active sex life after we broke up, because I sure as hell know he probably had a more prolific one than I did. And, yeah, I don't want to think about that either. Coop finally pulls something out, turns to me, and holds it out.
This is what we'll use.
I swallow as I take in the glass butt plug that's not the smallest one I've got. It's been a long time, and I know this could get uncomfortable. But I also trust Coop, and I know he wouldn't hurt me. I would have never trusted Brad with that toy Coop's now holding. He would have never understood how to use it other than with brute force, and I'm awfully glad that Brad was a dud in the sack.
Lube?
Coop asks, but there's nothing clinical in his tone. It's husky, warm, and tinged with lust. Nightstand, I whisper.
Good,
he says with a feral smile that should scare me but excites me instead. He nods toward the bed.
Naked, ass in air.
Okay, I breathe out in a whisper and start to undress. Coop stalks around the bed to my nightstand, but he watches me the entire time. After he has the lube in hand, he comes back around the bed to where I'm removing my panties. He casually tosses the plug and lube onto the bed and takes over for me. His thumbs go into the elastic edge, and he squats as he pulls the silky material down my legs. I gasp as he leans in, licks me between my legs hard before straightening again. My entire body feels taut and on the verge of snapping from the sexual tension he's already filled me with.
"Crawl on the bed, Eden,"
Coop murmurs, even giving me a little push at the center of my back. I do, as he asks, and because he'd told me previously to put my ass in the air, I go down to my elbows. Craning my neck, I look back to see him take the lube and crawl up behind me. "Aren't you going to get undressed?" I ask him.
"Be quiet,"
he says, in a low voice that's threaded with absolute command. I've never heard that tone from him, but my pussy absolutely trembles as it knows this is a different Coop I'm seeing.
"Turn around and look straight ahead."
A quavering breath releases from my mouth, and I do as he orders. I suck it back in just as quickly as Coop draws up close, using a knee to sweep my legs to push them further apart. Then his large, warm palm, calloused by his work, covers my ass where he strokes it softly before dipping down. Bypassing my ass, his fingers go to my slick folds and he drags his fingers through briefly. A mere test, I know. He pulls them out, drags his fingertips down the inside of one thigh, and I can feel the trail of wetness it leaves behind.
"You're so responsive," Coop murmurs, almost to himself.
He sounds awed. I tense at the click of the lube cap and start to turn my head to look at him.
"Face straight,"
he barks at me in a low voice, and my head snaps back. His voice softens.
"Don't you worry about what I'm doing back here."
And I don't worry at all. But I wish he'd get on with it. I'm dying from the anticipation. Cold liquid hits the very top of my ass crack, and I can tell he's squirted a large amount. Very slowly and very gently, he uses just one long finger to drag it down between my cheeks, where he massages around my tight hole. When he pushes just the tip of his finger in, I moan and my forehead falls to the mattress. My muscles contract back against him, and he pushes in farther until I can feel his knuckle grazing against the muscle of my ass.
"So tight," Coop murmurs. "Hot. Tight. Perfect."
I groan. Coop's finger is gone, and I brace for the plug. But he moves off the bed. My head pops up, and I turn to look at him. He grins at me and says,
"Come up on your hands, baby, and spread those legs a little wider."
Shamelessly, I do as he asks, knowing my backside is looking incredibly enticing because he can't take his eyes off it.
"Move forward," he orders, "until you can grasp the headboard."
Oh, geez. He's not only going to fuck my ass, but it's going to be hard. I don't know whether to be scared or delighted. Again, I do as Coop tells me, and the minute my hands latch onto the headboard, I'm surprised to feel him immediately come back onto the bed as the mattress dips. Then I feel the mattress moving, and something brushes past the insides of my thighs, then grazing my breasts. I look down and find Coop on his back, still fully clothed and inching his way underneath me on his back until we're face to face. He grins at me, head resting on the pillow, and says,
"Hi."
"What are you doing down there?" I ask with a return grin. "Last I heard, you were interested in the vicinity of my butt."
"True,"
he admits, then gives me a devilish wink.
"Still am, but I'm not one to rush things back there."
"What did you have in mind then?" I ask him, because he just lubed my ass and now he's underneath me fully clothed. I shriek in response when Coop's large hands grab my thighs and he heaves me up his body. He uses pure strength to lift me and spread my legs so I'm perched right over his face. His eyes are wide as I hunch my back to look down at him. He rolls his eyes backward to gaze at me and says,
"Lower yourself, baby."
"Lower?" I ask, my voice so thick with lust, I'm surprised the words come out.
Sit on my face,
Coop orders.
I want to make you come this way.
Oh, geez, baby, I murmur as my entire body tingles with appreciation for the generosity of this man.
Down,
he murmurs, and I lower myself right onto his mouth, and he devours me. His hands palm my ass, massaging the muscles while he uses his lips and tongue in a well-choreographed dance to assault my clit. His feasting is hard, brutal, and determined to get me where he wants me to go quickly. I know I won't last long. Coop's hands leave my ass, one dropping to push two fingers into my pussy from behind. He curls them, sucks on my clit, and I start to explode. I cry out, the burst of pleasure so intense, and then... Coop begins to gently insert the glass plug into my ass as I continue to shake and tremble through my orgasm. His lips purse around my clit, and he sucks yet again. I explode again as he pushes the plug to the hilt. The small bite of pain quickly recedes, and the fullness is welcome and missed. It's been a long time since I've done something like this. If I thought Coop was going to give me some time to recuperate, I would have been wrong. He puts his arms around me, locks them tight, and rolls us so I'm on my back. When my ass hits the mattress, the plug jostles and I groan from the sensation. Coop peers down at me as he lays his fully clothed body down my length.
You okay?
I nod with a dazed smile.
Good,
he says as he pushes up, goes to his knees, and edges backward. Just as he reaches the end of the bed and places one foot on the floor, he grabs my ankles and hauls me down the mattress. I cry out because the plug moves again and it feels exquisitely good. With a tight jawline and eyes blazing with lust, Coop quickly works at his belt, button, and zipper. He pushes his pants down his hips and past his ass, freeing his cock. It's so fucking hard, long, and almost angry-looking because of the dark purple coloring of the head. It's weeping clear liquid, and with his hand, he strokes upward and squeezes it out so it dribbles down onto the mattress. In another quick move that makes me dizzy, Coop releases himself, takes me by my legs, and flips me over onto my stomach. His hands go to my hips, and he pulls me up. My hands scrabble, latch onto the comforter, and finally flatten out with my palms supporting my weight along with my knees. My shins rest on the edge of the bed, and Coop holds me secure with one hand on a hip. With the other, he takes his cock, lines it up to my pussy, and drives into me hard. His pelvis slams into the flattened end of my butt plug, and it causes my muscles to ripple in pleasure. Oh, fuck, I scream out from the sensation of his hitting deep and the plug being manipulated by his thrust.
God, that feels good,
Coop says through gritted teeth as he pulls out. Then he drives back in and immediately sets up a deep, hard pace. He fucks me quickly, our flesh slapping and my breasts swaying so hard they actually hurt a little. Coop grunts and groans, and I feel a drop of his sweat hit me on my lower back. I just squeeze my eyes shut and hang on tight for the ride.
Touch yourself,
Coop orders me in a thick voice. I comply, one hand immediately going to my clit while the other braces against the mattress. It's throbbing, achy, and coupled with the feel of his cock in my pussy and the thick plug in my ass, it takes only a few gentle circles of my finger and I'm exploding again. Coop! I cry out as my head rears backward, hair flying. Oh, shit! Damn!
Yes,
Coop mutters in triumph as my body shudders so fucking hard. His hand goes to the plug and he pulls it out, the sensation causing my orgasm to intensify. Fuck, I scream, and tears leak from my eyes because that felt so damn good. Coop drives into me once more, then pulls all the way out.
Taking that ass, he whispers.
I can only nod my head, my body pushing backward. The tip of his thick head presses against my tight opening, and I tense for 1 second before I relax. I relax because I trust him more than any man I've ever been with. Then he pushes in slowly, the ring of muscles giving way from the workout they got from the plug. Coop slides into me in a singular, continuous move until his pelvis is pressed against my ass.
Eden, you okay?
He asks, and I can tell by his tone his teeth are gritted tight. Yes, I whisper.
Not hurting.
That's sweet. No, move. Coop chuckles at my demand, and he pulls out slowly, then pushes back in. That right there, I encourage him. That's it, right there.
Can you take it faster?
He rasps. And harder.
Christ, you're perfect,
he says reverently, as he pulls his cock out and slams it back into me. Later, I'll probably be embarrassed, but I shriek out the word yes, and then Coop proceeds to fuck my ass like it's never been fucked before.
Chapter 20. And she shines so brilliantly. Coop. This is batshit crazy. Admittedly, I've never sat in front of the TV and watched a Hollywood awards show in my life. I've heard of the Oscars and even the Golden Globes, but I didn't give two fucks about them. And Eden told me that this event tonight isn't even a tenth of the size and grand spectacle of one of those other shows. Still, I was completely thrown off balance the minute we alighted from the limousine that Colleen had arranged for us and was immediately blinded by what seemed like a million flashes going off. Don't look directly at any person with a camera, Eden had muttered out of the side of her mouth as I helped her out of the car. You'll be seeing stars for hours. Too late, I muttered back. I'm temporarily blinded. She laughed as she stepped out, one long leg coming out first to rest on the curb. Her foot was encased in silver strappy heels, her leg completely bare to mid-thigh because of the slit in the satiny dark gray dress she was wearing that fit her like a glove. The top draped low over her chest, but didn't reveal any cleavage, and hung off her shoulders with long sleeves going down to her wrists. My tuxedo fit me perfectly, since Eden had sent my measurements to Colleen, but really, who gives a fuck when I've got Eden Goodnight on my arm? Someone came to her house today and arranged her hair, which is a multitude of pinned curls all over her head, along with wavy tendrils that frame her face. Her makeup is flawless, and she's wearing berry red lipstick that makes me think of how those full, pillowy lips would look around my cock in that color. When we get back home to Newbury, that lipstick is coming out to play one night. When Eden straightens, she puts her hand in the crook of my elbow and we begin walking toward the front of the Hyatt Regency Century Plaza, where the ceremony will take place. This isn't a televised event, and will be an intimate affair, according to Eden. Given the pomp and circumstance surrounding the stars alighting from limos and thousands of flashing cameras, I'd hate to see what wasn't an intimate affair. When we reach the lobby of the hotel, a man in a dark gray suit escorts us to a ballroom where just inside another round of picture-taking ensues. This time it's done in front of a large backdrop, with the sponsorship logos printed on diagonal rows. Eden keeps her hand firmly on my elbow as she leads me to the front of the backdrop, which is bordered in front by probably a dozen photographers. Some are kneeling and crouching, while others are standing up, all poised and ready to take our pictures. Eden strikes a sexy pose and slips her arm around my back. I follow suit and do the same to her, and she leans into the side of my body. I try to plaster a smile to my face as the camera flashes go off and people shout questions at Eden. I can honestly say I've never felt more awkward or out of place in my entire life. It's bad enough these people are staring at us, but she's also being peppered with questions left and right, making it impossible to even answer any of them. She's asked about her dress and whether she and I are an official couple now. Eden doesn't address one question, but just brilliantly smiles as she poses. After what seems like hours, but was probably less than a minute, we're escorted further into the ballroom where multiple round tables are set up and a large curtained stage is at one end of the room. We're led to one of the front tables, and I have to assume it's because Eden is an it girl right now. She's a highly sought-after actress for serious and coveted roles. She's getting an award tonight for her humanitarianism, and I'm sure the organizers of this event want her to shine. I look around, taking in probably 300 seats in all by counting the tables. There is going to be a formal dinner before the awards are given. The tables are large and seat 10, with most of them filling up as more people enter. Eden introduces me to several people who come up to see her, and I want to laugh at how she gives fake air kisses to everyone. Thank God the guys all prefer handshakes, except for one guy who was clearly gay and gave me an air kiss. Eden, darling, I hear as a woman a few decades older than Eden and me approaches. She's dripping in silk, diamonds, and layers of makeup. I vaguely recognize her as an actress, a very popular one, I think, but I'm not sure, as I just don't watch a lot of movies or pay attention to that stuff. After air kisses are exchanged, Eden introduces me to Meredith Winters, and I immediately recognize the name, although I still can't place a movie she's been in. That's all on me, though, and not in any way related to her being an unforgettable actress. Meredith gives me a careful once-over, spending extra time on my face. Then she turns to Eden and practically purrs. "This one is totally hot. Very good choice to get over Brad." Even though Eden rolls her eyes, instantly dismissing this woman's claim that I'm just helping her get through a rough patch or some shit, my spine stiffens. Is that what people are thinking when they see us together? Is that what every photographer was doing as they snapped pictures? Comparing me to Brad Wright? Thinking I'm a temporary bed warmer? Okay, granted, that was our original agreement. Rebound sex. But it's so not that anymore. Our relationship still has an expiration date, but I want to tell this woman that I know Eden far better than she ever could, and I'm much more than just a hot dude. And fuck, I'm pissed that this grates on my nerves. I stand patiently beside Eden as she makes small talk with Meredith, and then several others approach. All attention is on Eden, and I'm barely given a second to look after I get the once-over. Not one single person I'm introduced to asks me a question about myself. Instead, I listen in on Eden's conversations, which shocks me to my core as to how shallow they are. "Eden, did you know that Bobby Flynn got passed over for Midnight Ship and they're offering it to Kennedy Caesar? They say it's because Bobby's hooked on heroin again, but I heard from Grant, who heard from Lisa, that wasn't true. It was just an addiction to sleeping pills." About the only positive thing I can say about this experience so far is that Eden doesn't seem to get sucked into these conversations. She smiles, she listens, and she empathizes, but she doesn't postulate or add to any of the speculation. Still, it's driving me batshit crazy to sit here in this penguin suit like I'm invisible and listen to this inane mockery of conversation. Finally, I'm granted a reprieve, and it's a special one at that, when someone escorts a young man toward Eden. He's tall, lanky, and his skin is dark as midnight. I smile when I see him tug uncomfortably on the neckline of his shirt, and he looks about at home in a tuxedo as I do. When Eden's eyes land on the boy I can only assume is Samuel, she gives a soft, "I'm sorry, if you'll excuse me," to some movie producer she was talking to, and practically runs up to Samuel. His smile gets big, matches the breadth of hers, and they lock in a tight hug, where they rock back and forth. Warmth spreads throughout my chest, watching this reunion, and I wait patiently for them to have their moment. When Eden pulls back, my body goes still to see tears in her eyes until I realize they are happy ones, and my chest gets warmer when she takes Samuel by the hand and leads him directly to me for introduction. "Samuel," Eden says as she puts her arm around his shoulders and her other hand on my arm. "This is Coop. A very close and dear friend of mine for many, many years." I don't begrudge her calling me a friend and not her lover, since the kid's only 15. I grin at the boy and hold my hand out. "It's a pleasure to meet you, Samuel. I've heard a lot about you from Eden." Samuel gives a side look to Eden, then looks back to me with a grin. His accent is distinctly African, but his words are crisp and confident. "Did she tell you about the time we put a fake spider in her bed the first night she was in Ghana?" Laughing, I squeeze Samuel's hand before I release it. Now that she didn't tell me, I can't wait to hear all about it. Eden just beams at the two of us, and now she's in her element, talking to two people she cares about, talking about things that matter. We chat with Samuel for a few minutes, but then he's led away by someone who wants to show him how to enter the stage. He's apparently going to be giving Eden her award, although he'll be sitting at our table. In fact, the minute he leaves, Eden rearranges the place cards and puts Samuel between us. Smiling, I pull Eden's chair out for her and temporarily sit in Samuel's. A waiter magically appears and we give drink orders. I look around briefly and survey the room. It's opulent, with heavy crystal chandeliers, expensive carpeting, and expensive flowers absolutely drenching the place. The china and silver on the table probably cost a fortune, and I'm betting all of the jewelry in this room could end hunger in the Third World. Bringing my gaze to Eden, I find her watching me expectantly.
What do you think so far?
Pretty lavish, I tell her.
This is nothing, she says with a wave of her hand. A very small affair.
It's overwhelming, I tell her honestly. She nods and gives me an understanding smile.
Don't feel bad. It took me years to get used to this stuff. Now it seems normal to me.
Years? And all that time she was alone getting used to this strange world. Samuel's great, I say, and her face lights up.
Isn't he? She gushes. He's so damn smart and such a hard worker. I'm going to help him with a college visa and then pay for his education once he gets over here.
Not even surprised. You're amazing. I'm really proud of you, baby. You've taken life by the horns and made it your bitch, and tonight you deserved to be honored for the great things you do. Eden laughs softly and leans in to kiss me.
My sweet, poetic man.
Seriously, I tell her, taking her chin between my finger and thumb. You're amazing. No matter all that shit that happened with Brad and what people say, you are an incredible person with astounding accomplishments. You're quite a woman, Eden Goodnight. I'm amused that this makes Eden blush. I feel terrible when she says,
Thank you for saying that. You're the first person who's really cared for me who has complimented what I do for a living.
With a hand to the back of her head, I pull Eden forward so she leans precariously on the edge of her chair toward me. I brush my lips against hers, then let my forehead drop until we're touching. I have nothing to say to her. I can't apologize for the years of loneliness she had because she chose to lead that life, and yet I can't fault her for it either. The type of success she's had is like one in a billion, and therefore how could she or I have any regrets about anything? The lights start to dim, and someone announces over a loudspeaker for guests to start making their way to their tables, as the dinner will be starting in 5 minutes. Eden and I separate, our eyes still locked together for a moment. She then smiles and whispers,
Thanks for coming out here with me, Coop.
I grin at her and lean into her space, put my lips to her ear and whisper back, That ass was more than worth it. Eden giggles as she turns her face to rub her cheek against mine.
You're crazy.
For you? I murmur back to her, then stand up to move out of Samuel's chair.
Be honest now,
Eden says as she leans her head on my shoulder as our plane taxis down the runway. We're catching the red eye back to the East Coast.
What did you think of L.A.?
Eden's wearing a pair of faded jeans, a white t-shirt, and a navy blue blazer. We had plenty of time after the award show to go back to her house, take a shower together, which inevitably led to some amazing fucking, and then catch a cab to the airport. While she was beyond sexy in that gray satiny gown tonight, I prefer her like this, all relaxed and casual, with hardly any makeup on. She's not Eden Goodnight, award-winning actress, supermodel, multi-millionaire, and a woman every man on the planet lusts for. Tonight, like this as we head back to Newbury, she's just my Eden. Nudging me in the shoulder, she pushes.
And be super honest, no sugarcoating. You won't hurt my feelings if you hated it.
I didn't hate it, I admit to her. In fact, your neighborhood and that surrounding area is really nice. But fuck, Eden, the traffic to get places, It sucks ass. Way too many people. Totally agree with you on that, she says with a laugh. The people are kind of shallow, present company excluded. Also agree. The food's too fancy for my tastes, I add. I'm going to disagree with you on that, but then again I love food, so I can't be disappointed. I chuckle as the plane picks up speed as we barrel down the runway, the nose finally tilting up and we're airborne. Eden snuggles in closer to me, looping an arm through mine and nuzzling her head against my shoulder. She's exhausted, and I doubt her eyes will be open much longer. I glance down at where our arms are intertwined. It's a simple act. Eden and I had always been physically affectionate. We couldn't be within a few feet of each other when we were first dating and not be touching each other somehow. It could have been holding hands as we walked, or having our legs pressed together at a football game as we sat on the bleachers, or her foot tapping against mine under a table as we studied. Of course, on those times we'd spend the night together, usually in my dorm room, we'd be wrapped around each other. This reminds me of those times, when we were so in love we had to be touching, and yet part of this is not quite right. Eden and I aren't in love. We're not just having sex, though, either. That was stupid to think this could be something as simple as just sex with our history. But we're somewhere in between. There's care and a deep intimacy, but I'm not sure either one of us is consumed with the other the way we were. Or at least, I'm not sure I am with her. Or maybe I am, but it's just a different type of consumption. Maybe as we're older, things don't have the same vibrancy as they did with youth leading the charge with our hormones. I don't know. Don't know what any of this fucking means except for one thing that has become perfectly clear. I could never in a million years leave Newbury to live in Los Angeles. Eden's world, her life there, is so antithetical to the type of person I am. I know I'd hate it there. And I know that despite what I'd come to feel for Eden as things progressed, it would never be strong enough to ever get me to go there with her. This trip was nice. Eden was a superstar tonight. Her home is lovely. I met her business manager, and despite the screw-up over the donation for the school fire, I like her. She cares for Eden and keeps her straight. Samuel was awesome, and that was the highlight of the trip. But I'm glad to be leaving, and honestly, I'm completely fine with never going back there.
Chapter 21. I can't believe she bitch-slapped me. Eden. Coop, seriously, I whine as he pulls me down the sidewalk. I'm tired. I'm still on West Coast time and don't feel like going out.
We've been back in Newbury for 3 days, Eden, he tells me firmly. You are not still on West Coast time.
But I'm still really tired.
You just spent 20 minutes riding my dick, and when I came, you told me you could have gone another 20 more, he points out to me.
It's true. I loved getting Coop off a little bit ago, holding that power over him, and I could have gone for another round. I give a frustrated huff as Coop pulls me closer to the front door of Tilly's, making me confront my unease. He knows my hesitation. He knows my vulnerability. Apparently, he's going to make sure I get over it, right here, tonight. Just wait, I say, as I stop and pull my hand from his. My heart is constricting with anxiety. Let's just get an out-of-the-way table for dinner.
Eden, he says reassuringly as his hands come to my shoulders. Everyone in town has received the memo about the mix-up with the fire. No one hates you. No one is going to bother you. People will probably give you some friendly waves, and you may get a request for an autograph or two, but trust me, you're a member of this community and have been for your entire life. Just accept it.
I shake my head fervently. It's not just that.
Then what is it?
It's just, I don't want people to think I'm using you, I blurt out. Coop's eyebrows furrow inward and then immediately widen with understanding.
It's because people out in L.A. thought that, right? Several people mentioned it to you at the awards ceremony.
that I was a good way to get over Brad.
I nod, my eyes lowered in shame. The people in this industry can be brutal and catty. Coop is having none of it, though. He lifts my chin with his fingers, forcing my gaze up.
This is Newberry. It's not L.A.
His message is important. He's saying that the people here are different and are not like the people there. Still, I have to ask, do you think that? Coop's head actually jerks back like I hit him. Then he gives me a chastising look.
Seriously, Eden, you have to ask me that.
No, I say immediately, shaking my head. Wait, yes, I need to ask. I mean, no, I know you don't think that of me, but maybe I just need reassurances. And can we go in? I can do this. It will be fine. Silly of me to worry, really. I'm just regular old... He cuts off my nervous diatribe with a hard kiss that ends sweet and soft. I lick my lips when he pulls away and open my eyes. My hands are clutching his arms and my body is pressed into his. When did that happen? That was nice, I murmur.
That was necessary,
he tells me with a grin.
Get out of your head, babe. Let's go have a nice dinner, okay?
Okay, I say with complete capitulation. He's right. Everything is fine between us, and the town knows the truth. However, I'm not going to lie, my anxiety starts thrumming slightly when Coop opens the door to Tilly's. He motions me inward, and I take two steps before I'm given an absolute heart attack. It seems like 1,000 people at once yell, "Surprise!" I shriek, jump a good 3 feet in the air, and I was so scared I would have run straight out the door had Coop not wrapped his arm around my waist. I take in a deep breath, and my eyes start to focus on people. Missy stands front and center, holding a platter of cupcakes. Clay and Jeannie stand beside her, and Bonnie from the pit stop, and Mason, and George, and Suzanne. Mr. Pierce, my attorney, and Mrs. Rayner, my high school English teacher. There's Carla from the library, and Dale from the barber shop. My eyes sweep the small crowd standing just inside of Tilly's, and I recognize dozens of people from my past who are still here, but I haven't run into yet. What is this? I ask to no one in particular, my hand fluttering over my heart. Coop's hand goes to my back, and he pushes me forward.
This is a very overdue welcome back to Newberry party.
Missy grins at me. All these cupcakes are for you. I laugh as I look at them. You're awesome. Everyone smiles at me. The smiles are all genuine. They like me. Thank you, everyone, I say, my voice quavering. This was totally unnecessary and also very unexpected, but it's one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me. Then the crowd starts to swarm me, and I'm in the middle of hugs, backslaps, kisses on the cheek, and I think Peter from the dry cleaners copped a feel on my ass. Didn't matter. I was officially welcomed back home, and I was happy about it. I do believe this is the first time we've ever danced together, I remark softly as Coop leads me in a two-step around the dance floor. Our bodies are close, his cheek to my temple, but he pulls his head back abruptly without missing a beat of our dance. Cocking an eyebrow at me, he says,
Prom? We danced at prom.
No, I correct him firmly. We stood in the middle of the basketball court at the high school gymnasium and swayed back and forth. That was not dancing. Coop laughs, spins me around, and continues leading me in the dance I didn't know 5 minutes ago, but learned quickly. I've always had good rhythm. I am surprised Coop knows it, though, since he didn't dance when we were in high school. Tonight has been amazing. I'm still all tingly from the adrenaline rush I received after being surprised, and then it continued, knowing that I had a lot of longtime amazing friends in this town. I talked to people about my parents, and some even had some funny stories to tell about my grandmother after I'd left town. People asked me about my career in a genuinely interested way and asked if I would be coming back to visit more. That was the only question I couldn't answer. So, how did you learn to dance? I ask Coop, mainly to get my mind off that question.
It's the fastest way to get in all the girls' pants,
Coop answers me mischievously. My jaw drops. You did not just say that to me. His grin gets bigger.
Will I or will I not get laid tonight when we get home?
I'm thinking not, I grumble with a mock pout as he whirls me around the floor.
This is Newberry,
Coop says softly as he presses his cheek back to my temple.
Not a lot to do here, Eden. Tilly's is where we all hang out. I guess I just learned it.
With another woman, I mutter. Coop chuckles, presses me closer to him.
We've had this conversation. You know I wasn't celibate the last 14 years, right?
Yes, I huff out. I still don't like to think about it, though.
Not easy for me to think about it either,
he replies in a low voice.
You being with others, that is.
We're silent for a few moments as we move counterclockwise around the edge of the floor. I catch people watching, and I know they're wondering. I'm wondering, too. This thing between me and Coop, is it headed anywhere beyond what we have right now? As if he senses the direction of my thoughts, he lifts his head again so he can look down at me.
There may have been others, but no one like you.
I blink at him.
Ever.
He tacks on firmly as the song comes to an end.
And that's all I know right now.
My lips curve upward as we stop on the dance floor. I look up at him and tell him the truth. I don't know much either, other than there's been no one like you, Coop. He bends down and touches his lips lightly to mine. And changes the subject in a completely different direction.
Have fun tonight.
I nod, and I know he sees the happiness shining in my eyes. This was amazing.
You about ready to go?
I nod again, and this time I know he sees my eyes darkening, because bedtime with Coop is the best time.
Still have that same color lipstick you wore to that award ceremony in L.A.?
I cock an eyebrow at him and drawl, yes, why? Coop pulls me in closer, tilts his head to put his lips at my ear and whispers,
because I want it smeared on my cock tonight.
I can arrange that. My voice is husky and my legs rubbery at the thought. I love taking this man in my mouth, love the sounds he makes and that look in his eye that I believe only I can really give him. Coop starts to lead me off the dance floor.
Let's start saying our goodbyes.
I glance at my watch. It's late, almost 1 a.m. Okay, I'm going to use the restroom first. We separate, and I head to the women's bathroom. It's starting to clear out, so there's no line like usual, and I'm able to get in and out quickly. Just as I step out of a stall, I'm confronted with Ashley Barton. She's flanked by her cronies, Simone and Carrie, the same two who were with her the night she accosted me here in Tilly's. The night Coop broke up with her. Her arms are crossed over her chest, and she's glaring at me. She's been here most of the night, and obviously not part of the group of people to welcome me back to Newberry, but clearly here on the hunt for a new man. She's dressed like a hooker, with a black bra under a mesh shirt, a short skirt, and black cowboy boots. Her makeup is heavy, and her eyes are glassy from booze. I actually wonder what Coop saw in her.
So, the prodigal daughter is now the town's favorite girl.
She sneers at me. And fuck, that grates on me. That she can't let it go and just move on. I know I should turn the other cheek, but I know if I don't stand up to her, this will always be a thing. Not sure about the town's favorite, I tell her with a wink. But I am Coop's favorite. As expected, her face gets red over the reminder. She drops her arms and balls them into fists, but I think Ashley's mostly blustering heat. She doesn't concern me, Especially since at 5'8", I've got a good 4 inches on her.
Not for long, Ashley practically spits at me. He doesn't do commitment. You'll be yesterday's news before too long.
Like you? I ask, sweetly. Her face goes a deeper shade of red, and she takes a step toward me. I stand my ground and decide to torture her some more. Ashley, I say,